With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing today? Thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Big show coming up for you. Chris Rose will join us from MLB Network. Some very interesting stories starting to bubble up around Major League Baseball as great teams are surging, poor teams are sinking, and conspiracy theorists are connecting Bryce Harper to the New York Yankees already. We'll talk to Chris Rose about it coming up at the top of hour number three. In the meantime, is Russia running out of beer?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Coming your way at 20 minutes past the hour. Should LeBron have predicted this Warriors dynasty? One former coach thinks so. That comes up at 40 minutes past the hour. Next hour, is Brady becoming an annoying millennial? Tom Brady using all types of social media to create all types of conversation, which is just like so like millennial.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Pop is trying to save a broken Kawhi relationship and the NBA draft. It's all coming up this morning on the show. As always, we encourage you to stay locked in throughout the program using the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. Of course, listening across the great CBS Sports Radio Network to your local affiliate. And it's DA On Demand, listening whenever you want to listen by downloading us on iTunes. Search DA and CBS Sports. We are all excited, Tamika Catchings! I wish we had Tamika on every morning. The WNBA legend, the 10-time WNBA All-Star, the WNBA Finals MVP, she brought so much energy and positivity, and goodness knows we could use more of that around here. I want that as my ringtone. I want that as my alarm clock buzzer. I want that to begin every show. I don't want to see mopey faces, people arguing around here, tape shifts that went overnight and people dragging butt here in the newsroom. I don't want Mraz coming in, barking about how Danielle made him sleep on the couch. I don't want to hear that Robbie Rosenhaus bailed on the wienership. I don't want to hear Shep giving me delusions of grandeur, how he's going to become the next NBA insider. I want Tamika Catchings giving me good vibes. I am excited. So we begin with a man who's very excited about himself, Michael Porter Jr. You may have heard this interview that we had with Michael 2 days ago. He played one season at Mizzou, and he barely played because in game number one, he was the National Gatorade Player of the Year. He was maybe the most sought-after recruit of his high school class. He had committed to Washington. Then Lorenzo Romar got the zig, and so he bailed and ended up going to Missouri. He had played high school ball in Columbia, went back, family connections to Mizzou, and played for 1 year. So there was some maybe worries that Michael Porter Jr. wasn't quite steady or stable, kind of went to the highest bidder, would change his mind at the drop of a hat. But he begins play in the SEC with Missouri far before conference action and injures his back in the first game. Is out the entire season. Finally comes back in the SEC tournament and then in the March Madness NCAA tournament and plays two games. Underwhelming. Mizzou quickly eliminated. And now people are wondering, well, how do we look at Michael Porter Jr.? The draft is tomorrow night. Do we say he's got the skill, the body type, the high school career and resume that suggests we should snatch him up? Or can we not trust him because of that back injury and also some rumors, some whispers of attitude problems? Fitting into a locker room, overconfidence, lack of work ethic. These are things that have been some whispers and rumors around Michael Porter Jr. We had Michael on Monday, and I had simply asked Michael who he thought was a fair comparison for his style of game at the next level. And his quote ended up exploding. I tweeted out that quote and the link to the interview, and before you knew it, Barstool had it, Deadspin had it, Pro Basketball Talk had it, and everybody was clowning Michael Porter Jr. If you heard this interview here on the show, maybe you thought the same thing. But if you wake up today and simply Google Michael Porter Jr., every story that comes up is, can you believe this guy? So is Michael Porter Jr. confident or delusional? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
I'm a mix of Giannis and KD. You know, I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people a little more physical than KD. But I also, you know, I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to. And then also Tracy McGrady. I get compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot too. You know, those are three amazing players. So it doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Michael Porter Jr. on the award-winning DA show on CBS Sports Radio on Monday. So he compares himself to Kevin Durant. He compares himself to Giannis Antetokounmpo, saying he's a blend of the two, and he also is compared to Tracy McGrady, or he likes to compare himself to Tracy McGrady, and then comes into the end and says, it doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them. And as many people pointed out upon those quotes, yeah, Mike, nobody puts you in that conversation except you. You created the conversation. So it's kind of interesting that he says it's an honor to be in those conversations. Look, when he said that, I didn't say, oh my God, Michael Porter is delusional. I just think when you are in that spot, you're trying to sell yourself. I think all of these guys that end up going number one, number two, number three, or want to go number one in the NBA draft or the NFL draft, this is a common refrain, saying I deserve to be number one. You know why a lot of these guys do that? Because their agents tell them to show that confidence, to create that conversation, so that maybe they do go number one, but the higher that they go, the more money they make. Their agents oftentimes advise them, talk it up. Say you belong at number one. You should be taken highest. Tell people you are the best quarterback in this draft. Because once that starts becoming a narrative, it helps you make money. That happens a lot. Here's the problem with Michael Porter Jr. doing this. There were already question marks about his confidence, about how he worked himself into a locker room, about perhaps thinking that he was above the fray because of his dad being a coach, and that already was around him, so this just adds fuel to the fire. I will admit that if you just heard those or read those quotes, it makes you roll your eyes. And some of the comments and replies to my tweet were phenomenal. Angelo tweets, DA, I view myself as Michael Jordan, but a little taller with longer arms and more Shaq-like build. Kevin tweets, yeah, DA, tell him he shoots a little better than Ray Allen, but passes more like John Stockton, but he rebounds more like Dennis Rodman. He's just honored to be in the same conversation as those guys. These are the types of responses he was getting after we tweeted these things out. And look, I think that people, if they have the background of Michael Porter being confident slash arrogant slash difficult slash entitled, this just feeds that. I don't think you take him with a top three pick. I don't think you take him with a top five pick because of that back injury, namely. But if he drops beyond five, somebody should snap him up. And I think somebody will. And I keep saying, how about the Cavaliers at number eight? A team that would be and should be willing to take a risk. Because if LeBron leaves, here is a high-risk, high-reward situation that maybe ends up bending your way. But just hysterical to see the quotes coming from Michael Porter Jr.'s interview here on the DA Show catching fire over the last 2 days. Jim tweets, DA, he's like a mix between Tom Brady and Mike Trout. You know what? If it's cold outside, he's kind of like Ovechkin melded into Sidney Crosby. Also, I think he would beat Michael Phelps in the pool, and he finished third in Daytona driving a Kia Rio. JB tweets, quote, I'd like to think of my business skills as a mix of Mark Cuban and Elon Musk and also Paul Allen. Those are three amazing businessmen, and it feels good to be in the same conversation as them. Just getting crucified. All right, here's your phone number. Michael Porter Jr., confident or delusional? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a little bit of both. Let's face it. It's a little bit of both. Which isn't always a bad thing unless you have the baggage behind you of people already thinking you're entitled. So when we return, the World Cup obviously is en route, is going on, is unfolding before our very eyes. This morning, Portugal has a 1-0 lead right now. In the 57th minute over Morocco after a header by who other than Ronaldo early on. But there is a crisis unfolding in Russia right now. It has everything to do with beer running out. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
21 minutes past the hour. And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. DA here on CBS Sports Radio. There is DA on demand. Simply go to our website, daoncbs.com. And you'll see all of our episodes, hours, interviews, links. And that's whenever you want them, including the Permission Granted podcast. A brand new one will be released after the show today. That's daoncbs.com. How we doing, everybody? We've got your Ask the Pros question today, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. or use the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, and be listening later on to the show to answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We will discuss a crisis of the highest order in Russia right now in mere moments. There's no more beer!
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
But first, Josh has dialed us up in York, PA, as we discussed Michael Porter Jr.'s combination, he said, of himself, of KD and Giannis, and a little T-Mac thrown in there. Is he delusional or just confident? Josh, what's going on this morning?
Hey, D.A., can you beat me up?
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, me, myself, I think my game is Magic Johnson meets Jordan with a little bit of LeBron thrown in there, I guess. So it's an honor to be mentioned with those guys.
So you think he's whacked? You think he's delusional? I can see where people could come off on that. Because he's a rookie, he hasn't done anything, and his college season was completely derailed by a back injury. But again, as I said, before we crucify the kid too badly, realize that some of these guys get the advice of their agents to really pump yourself up in these interviews because people want to hear confidence and you want to put yourself in that discussion. That will help you make more money, which in turn makes me more money. This story is concerning. This next story is a crisis of the highest international order. This next story really makes you wonder about humanity today in 2018. There's not enough beer in Moscow. Russia, of course, hosting the World Cup. Bars and restaurants of the Russian capital say they're running low on beer and having to wait longer than usual for fresh supplies. Countries descending upon Moscow, looking for the delicious, icy cold treats to lubricate their voices, their bodies, their spirits for these World Cup games. And they're drinking bars out. One waiter at an upscale eatery in central Moscow asked not to be identified for fear of scaring off future customers. Quote, "We just didn't think they would only want beer."
I am the epic fail.
In other words, here are bar owners, waiters, bartenders saying, we thought they'd want food too. Maybe a few mixed cocktails. You know, we do vodka here pretty well. All they want is beer. All they want is beer.
Are you kidding me?
They can't stop drinking all the beer. The beer's gone. We can't believe how thirsty they are. The waiter went on to say his restaurant ran out of draft lager on Monday. Note, the World Cup only began last Thursday. They ran out in 4 days, one weekend.
Stupid!
Deliveries are taking longer than usual. Sometimes up to 24 hours, you run out of beer at 2 in the afternoon. You don't get beer until 2 the next afternoon at some of these restaurants. That's a lot of money flushed down the old drain. Supplier stocks are running low. The waiter said, there's really a lot of people in Moscow right now, and they're all drinking. It's hot, and it's football. Now, there might be a reason why stocks were low or that they underestimated the consumption of beer, and that's because beer sales in Russia have fallen by about 33% over the last 10 years. Why? You would think Russia, great drinking country, why are beer sales lower there? Well, over the last 10 years, tariffs, taxes, duties have risen on beer, so they become more expensive. And rules have tightened on sales and advertising. So over the last 10 years, basically, they were lulled into a false confidence. This is like the 2007 Patriots and playing defense on them, okay? Brady's just going underneath. Bing, bing, bing. He's hitting Wes Welker. He's hitting Dante Stallworth. Underneath, he's hitting the running backs. Lawrence Maroney out of the backfield. And you're playing defense against the 07 Patriots and thinking, you know what? They just keep going underneath, so we can go single coverage on the outside and Randy Moss. And then in the fourth quarter, they've been going underneath the entire game. It's a tight game. The Patriots only lead 21-17. You're like, we got this. We'll get the stop here, force the punt, and then we get the ball back. All game long, they're just taking underneath, taking underneath. Wes Welker, 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 and then boom. Brady hits you over top. Randy Moss runs by you like a gazelle, hauls in a 72-yard touchdown. The game's broken open, and you lose. And people look at you and go, well, what did you think was going to happen? It's the World Cup! Bilotti, if you can give me some elevator music at some point, because I'd like to really delve into who is consuming all of the beer in Russia. One barman at a trendy courtyard bar in Moscow says visiting fans have drunk 800 liters of beer in 3 days. They have downed the cheap lagers before moving on to more expensive bottled beers. They're also busily unpacking boxes of beer, vodka, and whiskey from vans. He said to the customers, the sun makes them thirsty. In Russia, we say, to the bottom. I like that these guys are embracing our culture. There is beer everywhere, but they're drinking it all. Number one is the phrase to the bottom. Not a tremendous phrase, Mraz. When you're out drinking an ice cold beer with your buddies, would you not want to clink glasses and say, to the bottom?
To the bottom, mate.
Well, this is Russia. To the bottom, boys.
To the bottom, boys.
Well, that's not a Russian accent either. I'm just
saying. To the bottom, boys.
That's a terrible Russian accent also. I'm just saying this is a great phrase to use, isn't it? To the bottom. Drink your beer all the way to the bottom.
Till we see the clear glass at the end.
Yes. So, Mraz, let's make our power rankings of the top five countries we believe are drinking all of the beer. Let's start at number five. Who do you have at number five out of the 32 countries that are there? And we'll take America out of it. Even though a lot of Americans are there watching the World Cup, we've got to take them out of it because we are not in it. So here's the five countries that are in it. Number five.
Argentina.
You've got Argentina.
Love Argentina in this spot. I have been on a vacation in Mexico with several Argentinian folks, if you will, and I've never seen people drink like that in my life. I would have never pegged Argentina to be, citizens like that that love to pound their beers.
And maybe even more drinking now after Messi misses that penalty kick that would have won match number one. A lot of reason to drink. At number five, I've got Germany. Germany always known for the beer steins, huge beers, boots of beers, monster beers. I feel like Germans have to come in. They know that their team is one of the best countries in this thing, and they're going to drink up all the beer. What's your number four?
My number four is going to be Belgium. Only because I'm not sure how much beer they drink in Belgium, but I know I've seen a lot in America of Belgium brews, if you will. So yeah. I'm going to go association there.
Yeah, and that's that European part of those countries that love their beer. At number four, I'm going with Mexico. There's tons of Mexican fans all over the place. When you think of cervezas, there are so many delicious ones. I don't know if they can get a Tecate, a Modelo. I don't know if they can get Coronas over there, but they can drink with the best of them. I'm going Mexico is my number four power ranking, drinking all the beer. What's your number three?
My number three is going to be England.
England. Number three.
I know. I'm going to surprise you with two and one here. It's got to be England. You go over to England, what do? They just sit on bar stools and drink all day and eat fish and chips,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
So I assume they're trying to find fish and chips in Russia and drink all day. They got to be number three.
So I think it's got to be way higher. I'll get to my England ranking. You got a number three. My number three is Poland. If you've ever been around Polish people, and I've got a part of my family that's Polish, they are drinkers extraordinaire. They have turned this into a profession. And you drink some Polish beers, you get real drunk real fast. They know how to put them down. So I'm going to go Poland as my number three. What's your number two here?
My number two is going to be Germany, where you had them ranked back there.
Okay.
I have some family from Germany. I mean, heck, they make a whole month of revolve around drinking. You know they're bringing Oktoberfest to the World Cup when they're there.
My number two, Australia. I feel like the Aussies right now are destroying all the beers they can find. The Socceroos, they come in, they support their team. They know they're not going to be there very long. Australia's not very good at soccer. They've got an excuse to drink. Have you ever been around Aussies? They don't know what to do unless they're partying. Everything is a party. They wake up, it's a party. They go to bed, it's a party. Every time I'm around any Aussies, they are drinking. I think Aussies are my number two there.
My number one has already been ranked by you. I am going Mexico. They may not have been number one going in, but after their big opening match win, I think they're drinking all the Tecate out of
over
Russia.
Over Germany, so now it's a celebration.
Now it's become a celebration there. These 4 days have been about Mexico and their first win.
Good
so
point.
I think they're going Tecate, Sol, whatever they could find in Russia.
I don't know if they've got Tecate and Sol over there, but
they shipped it in. Now it's out. Get it out.
Get it out.
Mexico's number one now.
Okay, my number one's going to be England. Look, the entire culture around England is as soon as you're out of work, you go right to the pub. And there's just pubs everywhere in every street, every corner, and guys just sit there all day and drink. I got to imagine the English, and when you see some of the pictures of the English in some of these squares, they're just sitting around and they're drinking all day long. So that would be my number one. That's our power rankings, the countries drinking all of the beer in Russia. You can send your own as well, DA on CBS on Twitter. That's DA on CBS or on the phones at 855-212-4227. When we come back, should LeBron have seen the Dubs dynasty taking shape when he went to Cleveland? One coach says so. We've got that story coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You like that, big boy?
Everyone gets fatter with age. Wouldn't you think you would just get better at it?
Wow, John, you're fatter and balder. You must be awesome at eating hot dogs.
In one area of your life, you should be improving in that area, right?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. Happy Wednesday to you, everybody. You can watch the show at watchda.com. The simulcast popping right now. WatchDA.com. That is mobile friendly. Watch it on your Apple or Android device, on your tablet, your laptop, your PC. WatchDA.com. That was the voice of Brian Scalabrine, who joined us in studio yesterday discussing how possibly competitive eaters could get worse with age, considering with age we all usually get fatter and less athletic, so that your eating prowess should usually go up. We'll hear more from Scalabrine coming up here shortly. But as you just heard Andrew Bogish mention, we've got breaking news in the NBA.
Here's a bulletin from CBS News.
Dwight Howard has been traded yet again. Dwight Howard traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Remember, years ago, the Nets were hot on Dwight Howard back when he was in his prime. That never materialized. But today, this morning, the Charlotte Hornets trade Dwight Howard to Brooklyn. What do the Brooklyn Nets want with 31-year-old, 4-point-per-game Dwight Howard? Think about that, by the way. Dwight Howard averaged 4.2 points per game last season. Can you believe we're at a point in time where Dwight Howard averages 4 points per game? Think about this. LeBron is 2 years older than Dwight Howard. LeBron scored 51 points in an NBA Finals game. LeBron averages 30, 15, 9 on most playoff game nights. Dwight Howard averaged 4 points a game.
Oh!
4 points a game. So you might be asking, DA, why would the Brooklyn Nets want the corpse of Dwight Howard? It's because they get out from underneath the Timofey Mozgov contract. Nets get Dwight Howard and his 4 points per game. The Hornets get Timofey Mozgov and 2 second-round picks. What does this mean? Mozgov's contract is way worse than Dwight Howard's contract. Howard is only under contract for this upcoming season. Mozgov's got multiple seasons left. This creates $17 million of cap space for next summer, which means next summer, when Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard or Karl Anthony Towns or others would be potentially free agents, next summer, summer of 2019, Brooklyn now has space for 2 max contracts. Let it sink in.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
I'm sorry. Dwight Howard didn't average 4 points per game last season. Mozgov averaged 4 points per game last season. My bad. Dwight Howard averaged 16 points per game last season. My bad.
Excuse me.
That's Mraz's bad. He doesn't double check any of my work ever.
It sounded believable.
My bad. Excuse me. Just because it sounds believable doesn't mean you should take my word on it.
Excuse me. My bad.
Excuse me. My bad.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
My bad. Can somebody also double check how old Dwight Howard is? Because I might have gotten that one wrong, too. You know, breaking news is tough to report on as it happens.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
I am so sorry. 32, not 31. Okay, so he's a year younger than LeBron.
Excuse me, my bad.
He stinks. Okay. Anyway, here's the point, the bigger point. No front office in the NBA has done a better job pulling itself out of a flaming wreck and building back a house from nothing than the Brooklyn Nets. Sean Marks has been brilliant in this. Absolutely brilliant. He has hired a coach in Kenny Atkinson that guys want to play for. A young guy, up-tempo, connect with players. They have had 3 first-round picks stolen for KG and Paul Pierce. They still don't have their first-round pick this year. Still. And next summer, the Brooklyn Nets will have their first-round pick and space for 2 max contracts now. They'll have $70 million of cap space. Here's what's amazing. The Brooklyn Nets are clearly the number 2 team in New York. The Knicks will forever be number 1. But there's no doubt the Brooklyn Nets are set up for success far better than the Knicks will ever be. Because the Nets have a smart general manager and the Knicks have a bozo of an owner that keeps hiring bozos as GMs and tries to keep slapping together some type of plan without any real organizational underpinnings of this is what our philosophy is. The Nets are set up so much better than the Knicks, and the Knicks are going to keep spinning their wheels, and the Nets in 3 or 4 years will have picks, will have money, will have free agents. They've obviously got to pick the right guys and spend the right money, but they have gotten themselves out of purgatory in a dramatic, crazy, prayer-like fashion. Brooklyn picks up Dwight Howard and his expiring contract for Mozgov and 2 second-rounders sent to Charlotte. That part I got right. Okay, time to discuss what I was talking about before. Brian Scalabrine, who joined us in studio yesterday. He's hysterical. He's funny. He's smart. He played the game. He was also an assisting coach. And we were discussing the summer of LeBron yet again. We were discussing LeBron's flame out in the NBA Finals. We were discussing where he might go. And Scalabrine, who I loved having on the show, took a very curious shot at LeBron.
He didn't look at it like, we have Kyrie Irving, and I just got the number one pick, which I can trade for another all-star in Kevin Love. LeBron's only mistake, in my opinion, when he went back, was he did not see the Warriors coming. He thought he had to beat the Spurs, who just roasted him in the NBA Finals. And by the way, Kevin Love had like a 40-20 game against San Antonio and beat him in San Antonio. So he's like, no, this is the guy I need. His mistake was that. He should have thought, how do I beat the Warriors? And if he would have geared the team towards that, maybe that Wiggins trade looks a lot different.
But he couldn't have known the Warriors were going to become the Warriors.
Well, he's a basketball brilliant. Oh, my mind. I'm so smart.
Oh, come on.
I remember everything, you know? How you not seeing
it? So you're clowning LeBron right now.
I didn't sign the – did you sign the non-compete?
Non-disclosure.
Yeah, that you can't talk about LeBron? Like, I can respect LeBron as a brilliant player, but, I mean, come on. The soft cast. I mean, like, he does a lot of goofy stuff.
It's kind of amazing to suggest that LeBron should have seen the Golden State dynasty being built. Now, if he could, if he did, going back to Cleveland, I think that's an interesting theory that LeBron would have built, and let's face it, he had his fingerprints all over that roster every year he was there. LeBron would have built a different team to defeat the Golden State Warriors if the Warriors were the team that was the standard that he was trying to get over. So that's a really interesting theory that's not talked about enough, that LeBron coming off of two straight back-to-back NBA Finals against San Antonio built a team in Cleveland he thought he'd have to wrestle with the Spurs year in, year out. Because he had just gotten, as Scalabrine said, roasted by the Spurs in five in the 2014 NBA Finals. I think that's an interesting theory, an interesting concept. LeBron going to Cleveland going, we're going to have to wrangle with the Spurs. How do we match up with the Spurs? But Scalabrine is suggesting that LeBron should have seen that it was not the Spurs, it was the Warriors. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. Because in 2014, that year that LeBron came off of the NBA Finals losing to San Antonio, Golden State was a sixth seed in the West. A sixth seed with Mark Jackson as the head coach and lost in the first round of the Clippers. Remember, it was hard for the Clippers to get out of the first round. The Warriors lost to the Clippers in the first round. So the idea that LeBron should have seen the sixth seed of the West turning into a dynasty, I mean, look, there were certainly elements, and Warriors fans remember this, that you saw Steph Curry becoming an elite shooter, and you could see a young team with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green starting to coalesce. But the idea that you should be aware that the sixth seed of the West is going to become a dynasty, I think is pretty ridiculous. I don't care how smart LeBron fancies himself as a basketball mind. I think it's crazy for anybody to have thought this is a would-be dynasty. Maybe people would think, hey, that's going to be a good young team on the rise. I don't think you can say this is a dynasty. That's kind of like saying the Sixers are going to be a dynasty. That's kind of like saying the Timberwolves are going to be a dynasty. They've got good young teams, but there's no way to know because they're not at that level yet. And there's obviously no way to project that Kevin Durant is going to join in 2 years. Now, part of this might be simply Scalabrine being facetious. But I do wonder if he all along thought the Warriors would be a dynasty or would be great. And I'm not saying they would be a dynasty anyway without KD. I think this thing might have already been capsized without Kevin Durant the last 2 years. But remember, Scal was an assistant coach under Mark Jackson, under a tumultuous regime where he was reassigned to the D-League. They had that whole thing about whether Mark Jackson was being filmed or taped as he was being disrespectful or all types of different things under behind closed doors, under wraps. So I think Scal saw up close and personal, hey, this team's really good, talented. We just need the right head coach and the right head coach with Steve Kerr. But it also makes you wonder if LeBron did not have to go up against the Warriors of Steve Kerr, but instead the Warriors of Mark Jackson, he might have never lost at NBA Finals over the last 4 years. But what happens if the Warriors just kept Mark Jackson And they were kind of like a 4 or 5 seed in the West, but not this type of team, and then never had Kevin Durant added to them. LeBron might have stacked 4 championships in Cleveland. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, now that year number one, he didn't have a healthy roster either. Kevin Love, Kyrie injured in the NBA Finals. But that's how close that margin was of history going a different way. When we come back here on the show, Tom Brady responds to the speculation that he is going to retire, quote, sooner rather than later, with a curious post on social media. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.